on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? We're back. Here's YoteCast, another edition for you. And this one, we've got a long one this time around. We've no football game to preview, so no opposing radio play-by-play guy gonna break down another team. This is all Yotes right here locked in, because even though football doesn't have a game this weekend, this is a gigantic weekend for Coyote athletics. When you look at volleyball and two pivotal matches in volleyball at home at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, they take on Kansas City on Thursday. And then, of course, Oral Roberts on Saturday afternoon. Soccer hits the road. They will play at Denver Friday, and then at Omaha on Sunday. They need a win or a tie. They need at least a tie out of their final two matches, or a Western Illinois loss or tie. And the Coyotes will be in to the Summit League tournament, so that is big. And the Summit League Cross Country Championships are going on this weekend in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So this is all Yotes, all Yotes, all Yotes. And, you know, I just mentioned all those big things going on. Well, we're going to talk all of it, of course, with David Herbster. We'll talk soccer with Michael Thomas, because that program has done so many great things already this year. They've 10 wins in the Division I era for the first time, and they're on the verge of making the Summit League tournament. Let's cross our fingers, hope they can get there, because this team definitely deserves it. I mean, they have played their rear ends off. They're coming off a huge win over South Dakota State, who's been one of the better teams in the Summit League in women's soccer, and that was a big win last weekend. But basketball's just around the corner. You may have seen that either clips or pictures from the Basketball Media Day earlier this week. So basketball's right around the corner. So this week we are going to preview men's basketball with Todd Lee. Had a really long, good conversation with Todd Lee about the men's basketball team. How do you replace A.J. Plitzel-White, Stanley Amude, guys like that? Who are some of the guys that are going to step up into those roles and all of that? So we dive into that this week on YoteCast. So that's what we've got. We're going to preview men's basketball with Todd Lee. We are going to talk soccer with Michael Thomas. And we get it started where we talk all things Coyotes with David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. David, coming off of a home football weekend, and I know it's a tough result for the Coyotes. It was fun to watch them battle, though. They got behind in that game. I know that, you know, tough injury to Carson Camp, some of that we saw in that football game. But, man, that team really battled, gave themselves a chance in the end. And what was really fun was a late score. You could really feel the energy in the building, I thought, late in that football game. I thought the fans were committed to seeing that team come from behind to get a win.
Oh, God, were they ever. And we needed it, too. I mean, it's tough when you lose your starting quarterback. And then, you know, we lost Brandon Webb as well. And we had one off our right tackle that didn't play because he was Harberts, because he was under the weather. So, but they did not stop. I mean, not everything worked all the time for us, right? But they didn't stop believing and didn't stop giving it an effort. And even at the end, I mean, even then, we had first and goal on the 9-yard line and we don't get in. They take the ball over, but we hold them to a 3-and-out, and you have the ball with a minute and a half to go. Right. Yep. And at that point in time, with that energy, even getting the ball back the way we did, I thought we were going to win. I thought the guys thought they were going to win, too. But, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. I give Cole a lot of credit for stepping in the way he did as a quarterback to get your first real college experience in a situation like that. It, you know, you could see a little bit of nerves on him, but he also led us in a scoring drive, and you know, I felt pretty good going down the stretch. It didn't work out this time, but the fans, that type of energy, just seeing that was awfully fun. You knew the guys felt it too, so.
Yeah, no doubt. So it was Military Appreciation Day as well, and it was really cool. They delivered the game ball from coming down from the rafters, and before the game, you got a helicopter rolling in, military vehicles on campus. How cool was that?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, as a military brat myself, growing up on bases, you forget how much you're still in awe over watching a helicopter land or sitting in the cockpit of a helicopter and stuff like that. And so just being able to not only to bring that stuff to campus, but certainly to honor our all past and present military personnel, the tickets to the game and, you know, the appreciating the families and some of those recognitions. And I'm really, really glad that we're able to, post-COVID enough, rappel the game ball down onto the field and give it to the officials. That was really special to finally get that thing going again. But a lot of that pomp and circumstances was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend, certainly. Obviously, would have loved to get football a win, but there were a couple of big victories over the weekend in the South Dakota Showdown Series. Last Friday, the volleyball team goes to Brookings. They get a 3-1 victory, and then Sunday, huge win for soccer. They went 2-1 over South Dakota State, scoring late in that match in not really ideal conditions with the rain coming down, so that's a little bit cool.
That's putting it mildly. It was horrible out there. I give them a lot of credit. I stood out there for the first half, and then just literally drenched, really was, and didn't mind it though, to be honest with you. Just watching us play, watching them compete, it was a very hard fought match. It was a physical match. There are some times in there I'm sitting here thinking, do I need to go on the field and break this up? I don't want to. I'm leaning up against the light pole here. I'm kind of comfy where I'm at. But what a win, what a victory. And to do it in kind of really, frankly, dramatic fashion with just over a minute to go off a corner kick. Yeah. And watch it kind of pinball its way in there and scoot in and to win 2-1 over one of the more higher scoring teams in the Summit League. And it kind of knocks them out of first place. But at the same time, it also puts us one step closer towards making the Summit League tournament.
Which is obviously the goal, and I know another goal has just been to win, and this team has now won 10 games at the Division I level for the first time. It says a lot about where the program has come from and where we hope it's going.
Right, and you know what, they've been, you go in and you look at the schedule, I mean, they're 10 good wins. I mean, not only in the Summit League, but out of conference as well, being Iowa State and Northern Iowa and some others. I mean, it's the team really, really has played well, hasn't always scored real well, but has played really, really well, and that's what you're going to need. And, I'd say once you get into the tournament, I know Michael's on our podcast today too, and he's going to probably totally contradict me and say, "What in the world's a basketball player talking about soccer for? Stay in your lane, Herbster." But you're going to need to get to this point, and you're going to have to be defensively minded because goals are going to get harder and harder to come by. So that being the case, you got to make sure you don't let any in.
Well, and they've set it up, they didn't set it up, but it's set up for them that they have to go get a tie, at least a tie, in one of their final two matches against really good teams on the road at Denver, on the road at Omaha. It'll be a challenge for soccer, but I think we've learned that this team is really up for that challenge. Right now, they believe they can go get a couple of wins and have some momentum going into the Summit League tournament.
Right, and they should feel that way. I mean, they really should. I think they've been prepped this way. They've had plenty of adversity to try to overcome this year. They've had some disappointing losses. I think we can look back at that Western Illinois loss and think, was that just a D-Day's kind of hangover from the Friday night victory or whatever it was? But they kind of jumped on us and we just didn't respond. And I think they learned from that. I think you'll hear a lot of our coaches say you probably learn as much, frankly, more in defeats than you do in some of the victories. And so, since then, they've certainly turned it around. So, yeah, on the road at Denver and Omaha, it's a tall order. But with this group, I don't think anything's impossible.
Yeah, hopefully they keep rolling and get into that Summit League tournament. It'll be fun to talk about, certainly, but obviously they've had a very successful season regardless of how it ends. How about volleyball? Big home weekend for volleyball with Kansas City and Oral Roberts. Obviously have already lost to Oral Roberts and obviously looking to avenge that loss, but you're talking about two teams this week at home that are right now in the top five of the Summit League standings. This is a big home weekend.
It is. When we're looking at the standings, I mean, you have five teams in the league that have eight or more wins in conference play. I'm not sure I've seen that before at this stage of the game. I mean, we've pretty much gone through the first round once, and now you're kind of playing everybody for the second time. But, you look at Oral Roberts, sits kind of just above us and Kansas City just below us. So this weekend has a lot of, frankly, implications going forward for the conference tournament and for seeding purposes. I know they want to get the one back from Oral Roberts, and looking at Kansas City, who's, again, I think that's a match to come out to as well because they're a really good good volleyball program. I mean, it's they're scrappy. They're coming at you from all different angles, and it's we're going to have to really adjust, because I think you have two teams that play a little bit different. At least that's what Leanne tells me. I couldn't tell you how different they really play, right? But they certainly do, and you can tell by some of the makes, you know, where some of the hits are coming from as well. So it's exciting that this time of year to be having to have this high level of volleyball happening with this quality, these quality of teams here at home.
I believe I saw we're top 32 or so in the nation in attendance, which is really, really cool. It'd be a good week to get that attendance to keep going up.
Without a doubt. I mean, you're going to be looking for something to do. Now, here's a challenge, right? Because on Thursday, when we host Kansas City, that's also the same night that we host Vermillion High School football. So we got to figure out how we can let people go sneak peeks back and forth and get a little bit of both. And that Dome Club could be kind of busy this weekend. But it's, I mean, high caliber, high level volleyball. And then you're going to get it again when we have Oral Roberts coming in. So we don't have football going on, at least USD doesn't. So don't think you're going to take a – we want you to take a break. Get your butts in here and let's get rowdy.
Now, hopefully volleyball keeps things rolling. How about cross country this week? I know it's a couple of points for that showdown series are up for grabs, but cross country heads to Tulsa, Oklahoma. It is the Summit League Championships. Their season kind of coming at us to a close here, but they go to Tulsa this weekend. Opportunity to compete for championships.
Right. And, you know, I kind of look at the from a cross country standpoint, it seems like it's been USD, South Dakota State, North Dakota State, and kind of flip a coin on some of these years on how it all shakes out. And, you know, just from talking to Coach Fitzsimmons and really trying to look at, if we look at, you know, there's a time there not that long ago that our women won six straight conference titles in the Summit League, and I know he certainly would like to get back to that. And I think this is a team that right now can do it. It's always interesting to me because you can always look at everybody's times. Track coaches are great at this. They can look at the times throughout the year, and they could probably predict almost with a 90% accuracy how the meet's going to turn out based on everybody's times throughout the year. And I think that's part of it. And I think the other part for a veteran like Coach Fitzsimmons is really helping the ladies with a strategy on how to start a race. And, you know, what you need to do in the middle of the race and then how you finish it. You know, on the men's side right now, we're thin. We're a little bit thin this year. So I think our chances to win it we'd be long odds to win it. But I at the same time, don't know if I would put it past this group. But again, like, you know, you talk to them, you look at all of our times throughout the year, and then you know who's in there running based on who else is running at those times, and that's kind of how you figure it out, right? So regardless, we've got some great times and great finishes on both sides. So all we can do is go down there, run, and see what happens.
Do you realize we are less than 2 weeks away now from the start of the regular season of basketball?
I know. I was just putting – so get this. So literally this weekend I was putting in all of our men's and women's basketball games, all of my daughter's basketball games. And there's not very many nights in the months of December, January, and February where I'm not going to probably be at least three, if not four, basketball games over the course of a week. So, yeah.
That's a lot of popcorn.
Yeah, but you know what? That's how you really tell. You know, I always know what our popcorn is going to be like, but you're going on the road, I can always tell you, you know, this place you eat popcorn. When you go to Bonhomme, you eat the Locker Dogs. If you go here, this is what you eat when you're at this one. So I've been doing it long enough to know where to eat popcorn, where not to eat popcorn, who's got the good and who's got the good food.
Certainly not all popcorn is created equal.
Not
David,
at all.
Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Enjoy the week.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. Great stuff from him. Well, soccer's on the road this weekend. Huge, huge matches for them. They have to tie or win or get some help to make the Summit League tournament. They just need one tie or one win out of their final two matches. They've had an incredible year, and I had a chance this week to catch up with the head coach of the South Dakota soccer team, Michael Thomas.
Michael, your team continues to play at a very high level, coming off of a big win this past weekend over South Dakota State, not just because it's South Dakota State and the whole rivalry and showdown series part, but a team that has really built into one of the top teams perennially in the Summit League. That was a really, really good win Sunday afternoon.
I think it was a meaningful win for the program. As you said, South Dakota State's a quality soccer program. And then you couple that with them being a rival for the University of South Dakota. We've been getting closer every year. My first year, we lost in double overtime. We were able to tie them in 19, and we tied them last year. And then to come and get the result and get the 2-1 win, I think is the result of a lot of hard work, and I think is a meaningful win for the program.
How difficult is a game like that in the weather conditions that these girls were playing in? It was a little cooler, a lot of rain, not your ideal conditions. How much does that add to the challenge?
You know, both teams are playing in the same weather, and we, as I think everybody knows, we played our season last spring, so the USD coaching staff is a little crazy, and we were known to go shovel the field and train outside in January and February at times, and everybody could see the weather forecast, and we knew what was coming. And we, you know, the message we gave to the women is we've been preparing for this for 9 months, and they did a great job of going out and not letting those things bother them.
Some of the fans noticed intense moments between the benches at times, maybe between the head coaches in that match on Sunday. Is that just part of the rivalry?
You know, we actually get along really well with the South Dakota State staff. I have a lot of respect for everything Brock does with that program and him as a person. And everybody's trying to get an edge during a game, and I'm guessing that it looked a little bit more dramatic than it actually was.
That's a fair point. Dad, now your team, you look at them, and that win for over South Dakota State not only was a win that USD soccer hasn't gotten in what feels like a while, but it was also the first time at the Division I level this program has won 10 games. And I know you've had a vision for the program, and you keep trying to knock down the barriers and continue to build the program. What does 10 wins mean for you right now?
It's one of those numbers that means nothing and means a lot all at the same time, because it's somewhat of an arbitrary number that we have certain goals when we go into every season, that we want to finish over 500, we want to win double digits, we want to qualify for the conference tournament, we want to win the conference, we want to win the conference tournament. And we have yet to have a year where we accomplish all those goals. But, you know, again, my father's a mathematician, I'm not, but I do know that when you've won more games than any time in the history of the program, it has to be considered a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Things are good right now, and the team continues to play at a high level. How have you seen their confidence continue to build as they've gone through this year and had a lot of success?
One of the things that, as a coach, you find very gratifying is the belief they have in who we are and who each other are. And there's times, you know, we played pretty well against Western Illinois and Oral Roberts and had a two-game span where the results got away from us. I think there's been times in other years that would have snowballed into a bigger bad run of results. But because of the belief that they have in each other and the belief of what we're doing here, we were able to stop the bleeding and turn it around and get a series of results going our way. And I think those are the times that you really see that culture piece of the program that's starting to build.
You know, as you talk about the culture, we've seen on social media a lot, Twitter, things like that, a lot of these players tweeting out how much they love this team. You've just been able to see that continued growth, not only how much they want to win, but how much they want to win together because how close this team appears to be.
Well, I can't tell you about social media because I stay well away from that with every inch of my being. But I can tell you that it's a very close team, and they want to win for themselves, but they want to win for each other. One of the things that I think was meaningful about Sunday is we played 7 different players from South Dakota in that game. We started 3 or 4 players from the state of South Dakota, and I think every player on both teams know what South Dakota State means, but I think it has a little more meaning for the kids that are actually from the state of South Dakota.
Now you look at what's next, and your team has a road trip to wrap up the regular season with a trip to Denver and then to Omaha over the course of this weekend. And obviously your team right now is fighting to make the conference tournament. Most coaches talk about one game at a time, and you got to focus on only what's next. It's hard not to look at these two matches and start thinking, what do we have to do to get into the Summit League tournament? How do you keep them focused on Denver, just for Denver, before moving on to Omaha, knowing that one win and your team accomplishes another goal?
I think you just asked and answered your own question, that after Oral Roberts, I really quit looking at the standings. And I encouraged the team to do the same thing we talked about, just focusing on the next game. And I think the team's pretty bought into that because it worked. It worked well. And you know, I think Denver's a really easy game to focus on because Denver's been the gold standard in this conference for a long time. So one of the things that I believe, and I think the players have bought into this, is we get excited for games like this, that we want to play the big time teams on the big time fields, and we're excited to go play both these games this weekend.
Yeah, obviously a big weekend to finish for your group. And as you look at them, what's been the biggest growth out of this team throughout the course of the year that has allowed them to be so successful this season?
I think the belief in who we're going to be for 90 minutes is something that's very telling for this group. That there's a lot of team, you know, we're playing Division I soccer. There's a lot of talented players out there. The group has a lot of maturity and the ability to believe in each other and continue to believe in what we do when things don't go well has allowed us to take two steps forward even when we have to take one back once in a while.
What have you seen out of the leadership of this group, whether it's particular players or an entire group, that have just been able to, you know, kind of keep this team motivated and moving forward?
I mean, we have one team captain, and Alexis Mitchell is our captain, and she's somebody that in different ways each and every person on the team looks to, and she just sets such a good example on and off the field with her work rate, how she takes care of her body, how she approaches every time she's going to be on the field, both willing to work and willing to find the joy in the game. I don't think there's anybody that likes playing soccer more than Alexis. But one of the things we believe is leadership can come from a lot of different places. And we see that through the other seniors, whether they're the fourth-year seniors or whether they're the super seniors. One of the places that we've found a lot of leadership this year is some of the women that aren't getting the playing time that they want and aren't getting the playing time that, frankly, maybe they deserve if they were in a program that wasn't having the same success. And when that player, who's a good soccer player and isn't getting the playing time they want or deserve, is still out there working before the training session to get a little bit of extra work in, or is the player that's cheering loudest on the bench when one of her teammates has success, it's contagious, and I don't think it can be overstated how big of a deal that's been to this team's success this year.
Well, they've had a lot of success, and hopefully there's a lot more to come. Michael, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Good luck this weekend on the final road trip of the regular season.
Thank you. Need it.
That's Michael Thomas, the head coach of the South Dakota soccer program. Isn't it crazy that only four teams make the tournament for the Summit League in soccer? I mean, some of the teams have, or some of these sports like volleyball, I believe softball, they have six, but four in soccer. That's it, just four. So you could be looking at one of the best teams, the best teams that South Dakota's had at the Division I level, perhaps program history, that could miss out on the conference tournament. So I know they feel like they can win, and it's going to be a great weekend for South Dakota soccer. In sports, one team wins and one loses, but when it comes to bioethanol, we all win. Poet Biorefining Hudson is proud to be a local producer of environmentally friendly bioethanol and help create a competitive corn market for the area producers. Well, a team that did a whole lot of winning last year when it got to the Summit League portion of its schedule was the men's basketball team. The Coyotes were just rolling in the Summit League. They won nine straight. to start conference play. Of course, their first loss was splitting at South Dakota State, and then suffered a loss late, obviously, against North Dakota State after the day after the injury of A.J. Plitzewite. But the Coyotes certainly did a lot of winning a year ago. Now they have to replace A.J. Plitzewite and Stanley Amude. Stanley, who moved on to Arkansas, and A.J. Plitzewite, who, of course, is out for the year with his injury. Lot to replace there, but some talent coming back. Had a chance this week to catch up with head basketball coach Todd Lee.
Todd, it's crazy to believe the basketball season just rapidly approaching on us, coming in hot and heavy. And does it feel like it came up quick on you this time of year as you approach an exhibition game next week?
Yeah, it does. It you know, you always feel like you need more time to prepare, but I also wish we could play more games in the preseason, because we do have a lot of, during that 8-hour period when the kids first get here, into now where we're practicing for longer periods of time. I wish we did have more of closed scrimmages that you could get, you know, prepared for the season with. But yeah, the first we actually have a closed scrimmage coming up this weekend, and then we have our exhibition game on November 4th. So it's coming fast, and we've been dealing with some injuries, but we're definitely excited.
You know, we haven't seen the term exhibition game a whole lot at the University of South Dakota. There's been a lot of obviously scrimmages, but exhibition fans are allowed to attend. Is an exhibition game something that you've always been a fan of versus closed scrimmage, just giving fans that opportunity at a preview, or kind of what's the difference?
Well, the difference is the closed scrimmage, fans can't attend, and we do have referees in that scrimmage. It's really like a practice, meaning you talk to the opposing coach, and you can dictate how you want the game to go. A lot of times you'll play a full college game with timeouts and everything, and then you'll play an extra period maybe to get some other guys some time. You also could go into special situations. If you want to see zone, you can tell them to play zone. If we want to see some press, you can tell them to press, and we can work on different things. You can actually stop the game, you know, whenever you want. If a coach wants to call as many timeouts as he wants, you can. There's no fans, so it's really a practice game. And they're very beneficial from that standpoint, because you get to work on a lot of different situations. The exhibition game, one of the reasons why we do that is for the fans. The other reason is you want your guys to really do a dress rehearsal of a game. You know, all the uniforms, the pregame warm-up, the pregame speech, how we go through everything on the board before we go out. When they come back in at 10 minutes, we talk about. So you want them to go through a dress rehearsal of a game. So there's benefits to both. They're different. The closed scrimmage, obviously, with no fans. You can talk to the referees. The referees can stop the game and explain a call. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to it.
I mean, you talk to referees during every game anyways, right? A little bit different conversation.
I talk to them, but they don't talk to me. But no, it's a little different conversation. It's a little more laid back. It is amazing, though, when you're in that type of atmosphere, closed scrimmage. They don't seem to miss as many calls as when you're now. That's probably just my perception of it. Yeah.
No doubt. Well, let's talk about this team. It's a team that obviously, when you look at it, the two things that stand out is no A.J. Plitzewite, no Stanley Amude, two guys who scored the basketball a lot last year. So the first question the fans have is, how do you replace the scoring that those two vacated? And I would imagine with your group this year, it's not going to be one or two players. This is going to have to be a committee deal.
Yeah, it will. We'll be much more balanced. Our sports information department said that Stan and AJ, losing those two players is the most points that any Division I program lost from two guys from last year to this year. So that's a big hole to fill. But it'll be much more balanced. We do have guys that can score the basketball. Xavier Fuller, Cruz has improved a lot. Tassos has improved a lot. The guys that played last year, the good thing is they're used to winning. We led the Summit League in defense last year in field goal percentage defense. We're going to have to do it again this year. I think we'll be more balanced. I do not want one guy to think that they're going to have to score the ball like AJ or Stan did last year. We'll share the basketball. We are a big team. We will pound it inside. And as you know, John, we like to post up our guards as much as our posts. So we do have big guards we can post up. And so we will figure that part out. We're going to have to be the best defensive team in the league. We're going to have to be the best rebounding team in the league. And we're going to have to be the toughest team in the league. But we do have a big, strong team. And we've got guys that really understand how to win and compete because they've been through it.
Let's talk about kind of the inside area. Obviously, Tassos comes to mind, a guy who's really made a name for himself at USD. He's been solid. We saw Nick really grow last year, I thought, throughout the course of the season. Hunter Goodrick is back to kind of help in that area. We saw a little bit out of some other guys. Talk about those guys on the inside. Who has improved? Who do you hope steps up and how that might look?
Well, Tassos has improved a lot, and he had some big games for us last year. He's able to score the ball in the post, and then we're also able to step him out and shoot the three. And when he's shooting the three, he's a tough matchup for a lot of post players. So he's gotten better. He's a better athlete this year, quicker. He's improved. Hunter Goodrick came back, who sat out last year because of the COVID. Did not come here from Australia. He has improved tremendously from his freshman year. He's put on about 20 pounds. He's much stronger. The best thing he does is how hard he plays, how intense he is. Now he's a lot stronger, bigger. He's improved his shot. He's improved his post moves. He's going to be a great addition. Great to have Hunter Goodrick back. Nicola has improved a lot. Freshman year, even though he's a little bit older as a freshman, going through it, he understands it now. He is playing really well, rebounding the basketball, physical presence in there. So he's improved. The fans will see that he's gotten much better. Everybody loves how hard he plays, but he's improved a lot. So that's great. Brady Hyman's gotten better. And Brady can run the floor, catch the ball, block shots. He's gotten better, and Damani Hayes has gotten much better. And so inside, we've got five guys there, and that's not without going small, that we feel we could be very good defensively, very good rebounding the basketball. And I think we'll get scoring from I know Tassos should be able to score the basketball. Hunter Goodrick, Nick has improved, as I said. So and Damani's improved, Brady too. So we feel good about our inside.
How about the guards? Cruz is basically the veteran now of that group, and we also saw a lot last year, some improvement out of Boogie. We saw X play. You got some new guys into the program. What do you see out of that group?
Yeah, and people, when we talk about recruiting, you know, the question I get besides who's going to score the basketball is who you brought in, who's new. Well, to be honest, I mean, we really didn't have a lot of – we only had one senior last year, and that was Stan. So we pretty much everybody else returned, which is a good thing. And so Eric Oliver came from Laramie County Community College. He's the one new recruit that will probably see significant minutes. He can score the ball. He's a big, strong guard, thick, can really shoot it. You can do different things with him, post him up, but he can really shoot the basketball. Keaton Kuchar is a freshman guard from Iowa who can really shoot it. And if he improves defensively, he could get some time because of how he shoots the basketball. He plays really hard. He's going to have a good career here. Boogie Anderson has improved a lot, and he's going to play point along with Cruz. With Cruz being at the point, we can do different things with him, post him up. Cruz shot the ball extremely well last year and has improved his game. So has Boogie. Xavier Fuller had a great year last year and was our best defensive guard. And he's improved his three-point shot. And offensively, I think he's going to be much better this year. We can do different things with him. Mason Archambault has gotten a lot better, put on about 15, 20 pounds, shooting the ball extremely well. And so we feel like he's going to have a very good year, too. Cannon Costner also has gotten better, and he'll play the three, and we want to go small. We'll play him at the four. And so all those guys are returners. They've been a part of a team that last year led the Summit League from start to finish until the last game of the year when AJ got hurt and North Dakota State beat us in that last game. They know how to win. They know their expectation level. I do think there's a chip on their shoulder. I mean, we were picked fifth last year, and we led the league from start to finish. We're picked anywhere from fourth to fifth this year. And, you know, our guys know that what we're going to have to do to be successful. And we will get a little bit more of a committee scoring effort. But as I said before, we're going to have to be the best defensive team in the league, best rebounding team in the league, and our guys know that.
You had some turnover in the coaching in your assistant group and brought in Eddie Hill, who's new completely to South Dakota basketball, and then Roman Gentry, who returned to USD. Talk about hiring those guys and just kind of what they bring to your program.
Well, Roman's from this area, Sioux City, East, and was a great player here at USD. And he considers this home. His wife went to school here, too, and so they were really excited to get back. He knows USD. He knows the type of young men that are successful here, both academically and athletically. And so he brings that. He brings local recruiting in Iowa, and he was in Minneapolis, so he can recruit that area also. Eddie Hill is has a lot of experience. He's been at a number of different Division I schools. He coached professionally. He also coached in the EYBL, which is the highest level of AAU basketball, and coached a number of high-level Division I players. He was out for a long time, but we have mutual friends, and he wanted to get back into college basketball. Once his family situation got settled with his son, who deals with a disability, his wife said, "You can go back to coach college now," and he jumped at the opportunity. A very, very high energy, great with the players, developing. He played at Washington State, was one of the best three-point shooters in the history of that school, played for Kelvin Sampson. So Kelvin called me and a lot of my friends, and I've known Kelvin for a long time, a lot of my friends called me and said, "Hey, he'd be a great addition," and he has been. So while I look at assistant coaches somewhat like players, they got to learn the system, you know, and it takes a little while. The advantage that we had with Brad and Coach G is that they were with me for 3 years. So that third year, you know, they really understood everything that I wanted, even the second year. It'll take some time, but Roman and Eddie are working very hard. They're great with the kids, and they're going to be great additions to our staff.
Todd, what do you see out of the league going into the season? Obviously, Oral Roberts made a heck of a run last year, and everybody knows South Dakota State, North Dakota State return a bunch. And then there's some teams like USD, Kansas City, and some others who people are thinking could be good, but we're still kind of, you know, waiting to see what happens with these groups.
Yeah, I think with South Dakota State, North Dakota State, you know what you're going to get for sure. They return pretty much everybody, all their key players, and they're very talented. And last year, State beat us by percentage points. We finished second. North Dakota State finished third. The previous year, we finished third, and those two were at the top of the league. So we know South Dakota State and North Dakota State are going to be very good. Oral Roberts with Max Asmus coming back, obviously will be the best guard in the league. Preseason or picked preseason All-American by some people. Losing O'Banner is a big one, you know, for them. I know they've got a number of players back, and they're going to be very good. But Kevin O'Banner was a load to guard, and he was also the guy that was in those pick and rolls with Asemus about 80% of the time, and you had to pick your poison how you guard it. So that's a loss. So we'll see how that affects them. I know they'll be good. You are right. I mean, you've got UMKC returned some guys that are good players. Alex, a very good player. Nesbitt. And then Western Illinois, it's kind of interesting. They have a lot of guys back, you know, and they ended up winning some games. Now, we beat them pretty good in the league tournament without AJ, but they won, I think, five of their last seven, and they return a lot of guys. And then you have some new, you know, Denver's new and St. Thomas is new, and UND lost a lot of guys because of the transfer portal. It'll be interesting, but Coach Sather always has them playing really well and hard, and they're well coached. And then Omaha lost some guys. Pyle graduated. Ruffin ended up transferring, and Akinwole transferred. So there's some question marks. The middle of the pack, and as anybody will know, I mean, you play, and I try to tell our guys all the time, you play so many close games. We won nine straight last year in league to start out. A lot of them were close games. Now, we had some blowouts, but I mean, a lot of the games were close, and you have to win every possession, and every possession's very important. So even though State and North Dakota State are going to be very good, they're going to be playing a lot of close games. And so we'll see how Oral Roberts is without O'Banner. I'm sure they'll be good, but that's how I see the league.
Last thing for you, as you look at your schedule, obviously you try to set up a schedule before conference play to get these guys ready to go and kind of figure out their identity, I think is always the goal before conference season. What's the challenge of this group kind of finding its identity here in the first few weeks of the season or really before we get rolling with conference play?
Well, right now, John, we talked about it with our injuries. We're trying to get healthy, and we need reps, and we need time on the court. With the schedule, we start out with Air Force on Veterans Day at the Pentagon. It'll be a great game, great day. You know, they play a little bit different style. They play the Princeton offense, so you got to guard that. And they play a zone, a matchup zone, so we're going to have to figure that out. And then we go right to Drake, who's maybe a top 25 team. They'll be favored to win the Missouri Valley. They have most everybody back off a very good team that went to the NCAA tournament. Then we come home, and last year we really didn't have any home games, if you remember, early. So we do get some home games, which is good. You try to mix in games. You definitely want to play at home as much as possible. You're trying to mix in games that are challenges, get your guys ready for the Summit League, maybe see different styles, good coaches. You also obviously want to play, as I said, home games, so you don't want to just be on the road all the time. We do go to San Jose State and play Coach Miles out there. That'll be a great challenge. He's new. He's got a lot of new faces. We go back down to Nebraska, and we had a good game against them last year. They brought in a number of players, so they do have some players back that are very good. So, that's a local game against Nebraska, which will be great. We do have NAU and Bellarmine coming here. Bellarmine went to the championship game of the A-Sun, and they used to be in my league in the GLVC. Scott Davenport's an excellent coach. So we've got a good schedule, challenge. Every game we should be competitive in, and it should get us ready for a very challenging Summit League. But as we go through, I'll say this about the Summit League. Excellent coaches. Great offensive league, and you're going to have to play well every night. As I said, a lot of close games. So the league is always a high-scoring league because we're so skilled. We shoot the basketball really well in our league. We lead the country in three-point shooting every year. I came from the WAC, and the WAC was an athletic league. You might have two or three guys out there you don't have to guard. In the Summit, it's a lot of times you have to guard all five guys out at three-point line. It makes it really hard. So, and these coaches, if you do something against them one time, you're not going to get to do it again. Then you better move on to the next thing because they're going to make an adjustment. So every game will be a challenge.
Season's coming quickly. We're looking forward to it. Todd, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Good luck this year.
Thanks, John.
That's Todd Lee, the head men's basketball coach at the University of South Dakota, and his thoughts going into the season. The Coyotes, of course, will play Simpson College next Thursday, November 4th. That will be at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. It's an exhibition contest, so it does not count for record, but it is open to the public. Different than a closed scrimmage, as you heard Todd talk a little bit about the differences there. And then, of course, the Coyote men's basketball team season opener is coming up on November 11th, 1:30 in the afternoon tip-off at the Sanford Pentagon as they take on the Air Force Academy on Veterans Day. Unique experience, certainly, and we'll look forward to that season opener. The women will open their season on November 9th at home against the University of Oklahoma. And next week on the podcast, we will track down Don Plitzewine and get her season preview and thoughts going in to what should be a fun year for women's basketball. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote athletics. Of course, on a Thursday night matchup, it's volleyball taking on Kansas City. It's a 7 o'clock start time inside the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. So pack that place and cheer volleyball on to a victory. The last time those two teams played was a 5-set thriller in Kansas City. On Friday, women's tennis is at the Northern Illinois Invitational in DeKalb, Illinois, and women's soccer's on the road in Denver, Colorado. They'll take on the Pioneers. It's a 7 p.m. start time on Friday night. Saturday, women's tennis continues at the Northern Illinois Invitational. Cross-country men and women are running in the Summit League Championships, of course, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Volleyball will host Oral Roberts 1 o'clock in the afternoon, looking to avenge an earlier season loss to the Golden Eagles. And triathlon will be at the regional qualifier in St. George, Utah as well. So follow along there and see how triathlon comes out in their trip to Utah. Sunday, more women's tennis at the Northern Illinois Invitational, and women's soccer's on the road at Omaha. It's a 1 o'clock start time for soccer at Omaha, and should be a good one for soccer. Certainly challenging road contest. You got to love it to get things to wrap up the regular season. Women's golf will compete Monday and Tuesday in Greensboro, North Carolina at the Grandover Fall Classic. So that is a look at what is going on in Coyote athletics. For all the ticket information, a home events coming up, and we've got a busy, busy November, by the way. But for all that ticket information, you can certainly check it out at goyotes.com. Goyotes.com for all of your ticket information. That's it for us this time. I'm John Thayer. Thanks so much for your time. Until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.